Blog Talk Radio. Lord God, so that we will not fall into the traps of the enemy. We ask you to give us understanding of it, that it permeates our hearts, that it permeates our mind, that it permeates our spirit, that we not only hear it, but we be doers of it, that we think about it, that it's in our DNA. Because, Lord God, your blood flows through us. It's in our DNA when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We got grafted in to your being your God. So, Father God, as our vine keeper, as our Father, we ask you to guide us and lead us in this word this morning. Lord God, as I decrease and hide in your loving wings, as I just draw close to you, God, I ask you to lead and guide me. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my Redeemer. You are my Dad. You are who I run to, who I call on. And I love it when I hear back that you are handling all my problems today. So, Lord, I lift up this word. I lift up every listener, asking you to watch over them, asking you to bless them, asking you to take care of their families, oh God, each and every one. And I thank you, Lord, that no thieves broke in and no fires broke out in my house. And I pray that they did not in anyone else. So thank you, morning glory, for that word. Because, God, you are good, and you are greatly to be praised. So I lift up this word again today, asking you, Lord God, to guide us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for this word. We are still in 2 Kings. We are in chapter 14. On this 13th day of the month, I still cannot believe this year is moving along, and almost the whole year is half over. The year is on the half mark. Wow. 6 months we have gone through since January 1. And we will talk, our word and title is coming out of John chapter 20, where Jesus is talking about peace and how we doubt, from doubt to faith. Where does your faith come from? Are you at peace today, or are you in turmoil? We got to ask ourselves, are we trusting in Jesus, or are we trusting in self? God is wanting to know what you're thinking about. What you're thinking about this morning? You know, give out our number to your friends, to your family. Call-in number is 213-943-3597. Peace be with, peace be to you, is what Jesus said. And that's our title this morning. Peace be to you. Hallelujah. Thanking God. Hallelujah. So let's get into it. We're talking in 2 Kings, and we know that there has been so many changes with Israel's king and with Judah's king. And so let's go into it. In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. So you got two Joashes, one in Judah, one in Israel, became king. So now the Joash's sons became kings. Whew. So second year of Joash, the son of Joahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was what? Right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David, his father. Not like his father David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away and the people still sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. No peace up in them. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Selah by war and called his name Jachiel to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Joahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wind and a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory in that, and stay at home. For why should you meddle with trouble, so that you fall, you and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not heed. Therefore, Joash, king of Israel, went out. So he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. And he went to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jehoash rested with his father and was buried in Samaria. And the kings of Israel, then Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his place. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And they formed a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. But he built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his father. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, no peace. Whew! He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw that the afflictions of Israel was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would not blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did, his might, how he made war, how he recaptured for Israel from Damascus and Hamath, where they belong to Judah? Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jeroboam rested with his fathers and the kings of Israel. Then Zechariah, his son, reigned in his place. And just a life lesson. And so the book Bible that we are coming out of is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a one-year Bible. This is our second year in it. And all I can say is it is amazing. And I will tell everybody, if you have opportunity to buy this Bible, buy it for your daily meditation, just for your daily reading, even if you're not listening to moving forward, but just reading your word and doing it in a year. This Bible is amazing. It is worth every dime. And again, disclaimer, I am not paid by Charles Stanley Ministry, by In Touch, to read the Charles Stanley Bible and to hawk it. I'm saying because I happen to have been chosen. This is what God chose for me to read this year. I pray about it the whole year, asking God, what Bible do we start in? What Bible do we use to get our year in? Because that's my assignment. And I tell you, this Bible has been amazing. And I love the life lessons. I love the principles. I love what the Bible says. I love life questions. Whatever Dr. Stanley gives us for the lesson, it is always right on point and on time. And so I can only say thank you. And I thank Dr. Stanley. I thank him for this word. And I thank God for leaving us this basic instruction before leaving earth. This Bible will get you through the day. When you need a word from God, it always seems to pop up just what you need. Because so many times we want to do us. We want to run, trying to make 100, not understanding that the one is us that God is trying to give. He's the one that makes 100, not us. Because 99 won't do for God. But we're running so much that God can't take, that we're not even taking time to listen to his voice. He's trying to talk to you, but you running here, running there, gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta go there. So you have chaos. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Chaos. You know, not knowing where to focus. Because running here, running there, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. That sometimes you gotta have peace. Have a peace be still in your spirit. A peace be still in your walk. A peace be still. And the word that God gave Dr. Stanley for this life lesson from 2 Kings 14:10, your heart has lifted you up. Pride, come on now. Pride can urge us to do foolish things. God tells us. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. God used a wicked king to admonish Amaziah, but he refused to listen. Sometimes you might think you got it going on. Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I got this and I got that. I have this degree. I have that degree. I have my bachelor's in this and I have my master's in that. And I'm working on my doctorate and the other. And I got. We got to learn how to stop and be still, because there's somebody out there that has more wisdom, more knowledge, more experience, more everything than you. We got to learn how to stop, take a minute, have some peace, and be still. Because understand, when a little dog goes up against a big dog, most of the time, you're not David and Goliath, and you're going to lose against that big dog. And when the big dog said, puppy, be still, because you're a pup. You don't know anything. I will eat you up. But the puppy thinks it's tough. fighting and it's trying to gnaw at the big dog's ankle, that all the big dog do is just take his other foot and step on it. You got to learn how to be still and be at peace. We don't have to run after everything. Do what you can do and let God do the rest. And as we move forward in 2 Kings 14 and 27, he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam. The sovereign Lord uses both good and evil men to fulfill his purposes. What he has said, he will do, but we must take care not to misrepresent or misconstrue his word. Bam. We hear it every day. God's word being bastardized, changed, and made to be something it is not. We got to stop, take a minute, have peace, and listen to the voice of God. God is speaking to us today, but we're too busy trying to run after everything but God. Again, not playing with us. We wonder why all of a sudden it's so hot you can barely breathe. We wonder why the polar ice caps are melting. We're wondering why weather is all over the place. Because we don't listen. We're so busy doing our own thing that we didn't stop to think that the infrastructure needs to be repaired. We didn't stop to think that you can't continue messing with the ozone. Every day I drive by one of my trees that is dying. I have an apple tree that something has gotten on that it is dying. There's not one apple coming in on it. And I know I'm going to have to cut it, get it cut down. So whatever it is doesn't affect my other trees. I have 7 apple trees and a pear tree. And the pear tree is going to produce off. Oh, my goodness. I got pears coming out of every direction this year. So I'm like, wow, thank you, God. I'm going to be eating pears all winter long. Because pears, you can preserve and they last. And they are good. So I got pears. I was looking at my pear tree the other day, and I'm like, thank you, God. I'm getting some pears this year. Because it's like an every other year thing. But my one apple tree, it's not going to make it, I don't think. But I looked at my other apple tree beside it, and there's apples growing on it. I got some little green apples growing on it right now. So I'm thanking God. And my tomato plant, woo, hallelujah. My tomato plant is just doing the thing. And my cucumbers are doing the thing. My beans, they working on it. But, you know, I planted just trying a new thing called plant in a bag. And so I put my tomatoes in a bag. And they are growing beautifully in my little bag. I just got to get my little thing to go in so they'll grow up and not out and out of the bag. So get my little stem thing to go in it, my own little itty-bitty fence, and I have it in my fenced-in yard. I have a baby yard is what I call it. It's my future patio, and I've got my little bags in it. And I'm like, Lord, thank you, because I am excited. This is going to be beautiful. I'm going to have some fresh tomatoes coming up. So we got to plant some things because God has planted us. So let's keep our word going. And we are in Psalm, the 73rd Psalm, chapter verses 10 through 20. And it says, therefore, as people return here, the water of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, they're these ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. And come on now, this was thousands of years ago written. This was written a thousands of years ago. An Aesop song, but it is right on point today. Let's go there one more time. And therefore, as people return here and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Woo, hallelujah. Get in the Word. Got to go to church. Got to get into the communion with other saints. God is speaking through his Word to us today. Surely, verse 18, you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Whew. We think that the rich got it going on. The 1%ers, they got it going on. We're struggling to put gas in the tanks of our cars. We're struggling to go to work. And yet, the CEO is making billions and billions of dollars and complaining about the economy. And I'm barely making it. But yet he's telling me you got to come back to work. You know, you've been home too long. Not understanding productivity went up when folks went home. And understanding the price of gas to go from the suburbs into the city is extraordinary. California, God did a miracle in there. I'm going to just tell you, just was reading on the internet how God would do a miracle for you when you least expect it. They was trying to raise the gas price to $6.99 a gallon, but there was a glitch in the computer system, and the gas was 69 cents. And let's just say this, folks that was in the area filled up on that 69 cents gas, filled up everything they could fill up the 9 cents. A glitch happened. Understand, it wasn't a glitch. It was a miracle for God because God knew that greed was getting ready to take place, and he helped his people. And the one that saw the 69 cents told somebody else, and they told somebody else. Before long, everybody was getting gas at 69 cents. One person said, I've never seen 69 cents gas in my life. I have to admit, I have seen 69 cents gas in my life. I used to pay my cousin to pick me up from school. She got paid a dollar a week, filled up her gas tank. Come on now, 25 cents. Oh, and by the way, when you got gas, there was somebody to wipe off your windshield, you know, and wipe off all your windows and clean up your car a little bit for that 25 cents. And now everything is self-serve. There's nobody cleaning your windshield but you. You know, so I'm going to tell you something. It's all relevant. We have gotten so far removed from kindness. Everybody's trying to make a buck, and nobody's thinking about his sister or his brother or loving his neighbor or loving God. We got to go back to the way it was, where we love each other, where we care about each other, where there is the keeping of the commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. As again, we've talked many times, you take the top 10, divide it in half. The first half is God, the second half is your neighbor. Because you don't kill your neighbor, you don't steal from your neighbor, you don't commit adultery, you don't honor your parents. We got to do what's right by God's word. And as we continue in this word, it says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. Everyone goes through times when they wonder if obeying the Lord is really worth it. especially when they see people who don't serve God having the success and prosperity they want. However, our obedience to God is never in vain. As if the psalmist reminds us that we are reaping a harvest in eternity. Come on now. Always remember, we reap what we sow more than we sow, and fat later than we sow. Come on. I'm going to read that again. Always remember, we reap what we sow. You're sowing hate. You're sowing discontent. You're sowing divisiveness. You're sowing racism, bigotry, every kind of ism. You're sowing that. You're going to reap that. You're sowing meddling in everybody's business and not having a peacefully feel in your own. Sow that. If you're lying and cheating and thinking you getting it, you got it going on, you will sow that. Everything you do, you will sow. You reap what you sow. You think that you can get away with cheating God and not paying your tithes? You will reap what you sow. Whatever, pay what you owe God. Always give God what belongs to God. Always remember, we reap what we sow more than we sow and later than we sow. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get to the narrow gate, y'all. Deacon Ken preached on that yesterday. And I'm like, yes, sir. We all trying to get, I want to get through the narrow gate. I'm going to stay in my square where there's light. I'm not trying to go over with the crowd in the dark. Because in the dark, you can't see and you're going to stumble and fall. But you got to get back up and run to your square. Run to your light, which is Jesus Christ. We got to run to the light. Hallelujah. Run to the truth. Run to Jesus. Say, not even run, but walk. Get a nice, brisk walk and get back on track. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:18-19. Cast in lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. And as we was reading yesterday's words about how they cast lots for Jesus' garments because they wanted to tear it up, it's like, no, it's nice. Let's cast a lot. Cast lots for the garment of Christ so that there wouldn't be contention and fighting over who was going to give it. And then we go back to this proverb that says, casting lots causes contention to cease and keeps the mighty apart. And that's what happened. And it goes on to say, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. We all see it every day. It happens. You can't stand this person. And, you know, my sister was dating my old boyfriend. And, oh, and then he married her. That he married my sister, and she know that he was my ex-boyfriend. And, you know, I can't stand her. I ain't going to talk to him for the rest of my life. But what you forgot to say was that you chased him down to be your boyfriend. But he chose your sister because she was his good thing. And you looking in and seeing favor that's coming on them because he did what was right. You were the one doing what was wrong. He was not the one for you and never was the one for you because you knew he liked your something you didn't have no business doing and then getting mad because he still went on and got his good thing and they find the favor. They in the church. He doing the things you're supposed to do and you still running the streets. But you mad at your sister. You better understand everything you do, God sees it. You read what you show. But your sister's trying to reach back out to you in love and trying to pull you back in to the family, into the Sunday dinners, into going to church, into doing what you need to do. And she's already told you, I'm sorry, even though she didn't do anything wrong, because she wasn't chasing after him. She wasn't even looking at him. She even rebuked him and said, no, you was dating my sister. I can't do that. And he said, I didn't date your sister. You know, your sister was not my good thing. You've always been my good thing. You've always been the one I was looking at. But see, we got to get over all this foolishness. Well, you know what, Sister Susie stepped on my toe last Sunday, and I can't stand her. You know, you go to church every Sunday and you see Sister Susie and she's handing you a program because she's the head usher. And you roll your eyes at her. And where she tells you to go left, you go right. Because you just can't stand her. She stepped on your toe. And Sister Susie didn't even know she stepped on your toe. On the Sunday that she stepped on your toe, she tripped. And she said, excuse me. But you said that she didn't say, excuse me, that she stepped on your toe. You got to stop foolishness, y'all. God is watching us, and he wants us to have peace in the body of Christ and peace in our homes. And as we go into John chapter 20, the word of God tells us, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, because again, yesterday was the crucifixion of Christ. And today, this is Mary going to the tomb. And this is what John is speaking. You know, if you go through the Gospels, they all have the story. Some are a little different than others. But this is what John is saying. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while he was still dark, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth laying there, and that handkerchief that had been around his head, now lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by it. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, but Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. He was just her rabbi. He was her pastor. He was her teacher. She followed him. And she loved him. And she cared about him. And she stood waiting and weeping and wondering where could they have taken him. And so she was the first through Jesus. The risen Savior was a woman. And you can't change the word. It was a woman that saw him first. Peter and John went running, but he didn't show himself to Peter. He didn't show himself to John. He showed himself to the woman, his woman, who was a disciple. She was not a prostitute. She was a woman that had 7 demons that he took out of her. And she followed him from that point on. And she was a woman of means. Come on now. Let's call it like it was. And not like it been bastardized. Because some man didn't like the fact that a woman was a disciple of Christ. We got to go and tell it like it was. And let's go back to the word. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said, oh, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And he said it to us today, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands, come on now, and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We think that the Holy Spirit didn't show up until the book of Acts. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit showed up with Jesus, and he breathed on them. You know, I love this song. I believe it's by Clint Brown, and it just says, breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yesterday's gone, but today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. We need a breathe on us today. We need that Holy Spirit to breathe on us today. Hallelujah. Are you asking God to breathe on you this morning? Are you asking God to guide you this morning? Are you asking God to show you where to go this morning? Is he breathing on you? Hallelujah. Because he's breathing on me. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, I'm going to say it one more time. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We got to forgive. We don't want to be retaining sins of everybody. He stepped on my foot. She pushed me. She didn't speak to me. He took my inheritance. My mama loved him more than she loved me. All that whining and complaining and retaining of art. I ain't forgiving my mama. I ain't forgiving my daddy. Because I didn't know him. He did this and he did that. And you know, my son's daddy is a deadbeat. And I'm going to tell my son that his daddy's a deadbeat and he's just like it. No. Cursing your children. We got to stop it. We got to walk in peace. What did Jesus say? Peace be with you. We got to have peace in our spirit. And we can't doubt. We got to have faith, that mustard seed faith, that moves mountain faith, that sowing of seed faith. And then it goes on to say, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. There's one in every group. There's one in every group. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors were being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace to you, my brother. Peace to you, my sisters, this morning. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hand. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Hallelujah. We have not seen, but we believe. It's called faith. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. And our life lesson from today is this. In John 20 and 21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The Father sent his Son into the world to make it possible for sinful men and women to become holy. And the Son now sends his followers into the world to make it possible for others to hear about his work. In John 30 and 31, it says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. In the word of God, the word of God did not have God's stamp of approval, it would have fallen into obscurity long ago. But it still rings with the power of God to accomplish its purpose, to lead people to life in Christ. Hallelujah. And I have a life before we wrap up this morning. And the life example, Thomas from doubt to faith. The name Thomas in the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek name Didymus, which means twin. Didymus, which means twin. Thomas reminds us of the similarities between doubt and faith. Both originate from the same place, a confrontation with the unknown. Doubt concedes defeat, while faith claims the victory. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, hope became reality. The resurrection renewed his confidence in God and motivated him to spend the rest of his life proclaiming the certainty of the risen Christ. Tradition holds that Thomas spread the gospel to India and helped dispel others' disbelief about the resurrection. If uncertainties have smothered your confidence in the Lord, remember his power so evident in the empty tomb. The crucifixion was not the end of the story, and neither is the trial you face. Choose the path of faith and declare that triumph lies just ahead. Allow his resurrection to strengthen your hope, renew your certainty, and be your greatest victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for the peace we feel in our hearts today as we move forward in your word. Thank you, God, for this mighty and great word that touched hearts, minds, and spirits. And Lord, I love that you have given us a word this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word from Sister Carolyn this morning, from Carolyn's gift, is this. And we're going to go actually back, today's word to yesterday's word, which we had not gotten. And it's a proverb. And it just happens to be a proverb we read early last week. And it says this, good morning. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16 and 20. Have a blessed Sunday on yesterday. And all I can say is I sure did have a blessed Sunday. And I thank God for Deacon Ken who spoke a word. We got a diet from sin. Come on now. So we can make it through the narrow gate. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our word this morning, sin at 5:55, triple grace this morning. And understand it is so weird because I woke up at 5:55 this morning as well. And it says, good morning. When you pray, God listens. When you listen, when you believe, God moves on your behalf. have a motivated Monday. That just, ooh. And you listen. And how do you listen? You listen with a peace in your heart. You got to have a peace. Be still to listen to the voice of God. And I'm going to read this one more time so it gets into your heart. Because it sits right in our lesson in the Old Testament. The king of Israel tried to tell the king of Judah, you're a little dog. You're a thistle. I don't want to have to hurt you. The little wouldn't listen. And what happened? Got captured. Lost everything. Brother against brother. Because one didn't want to listen. When we don't listen to the voice of God, we walk into chaos. We have mess everywhere. And God is saying it's time to get your houses in order. It's time to get your financial house in order, your physical house in order, your spiritual house in order. But that comes from, as Jesus said, peace be with you. You got to have a peace in your heart. And as our morning glory, that's a few talks this morning. You got to learn how to walk before you try to run. And as Sister Carol would say, when you pray, God listens. When you listen, God, when you believe, God moves on your behalf. Have a motivated Monday. And as Thomas, he talked about, became a powerful apostle because he finally got it. We cannot doubt Jesus. We cannot doubt our Father God. We cannot doubt that he's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Before you do anything, ask God, Lord, is this the right thing to do? And he will tell you a yes or a no or not right now. But you got to listen. And our prayer for this morning from our 365 days of prayer for life is this. Reason for success. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, God's going to keep you on your lighter square toward the narrow gate. God, I come to you with all my dreams and goals laid out before you. As I follow you, your goodness finds me. What a privilege to be walking in the light of your favor. Woo, hallelujah. You know how easily I rely on my own abilities to get things done. When my strength is depleted and I have nothing else to give, when there is still much to do and many needs left unmet, I fall into you. I was never meant to be the one to do it all. God is speaking today to all of us. You alone are able to meet every need. It is not my job. Whether I fail or succeed, I am confident that you are big enough to cover it all. My confidence is not found in my own ability. Help me when I edge toward perfectionism. In you is where everyone and every satisfaction. Thank you, Lord. And a question for today, as we leave this place, do you have more confidence in your ability or in God? Think on that this morning. As Jesus said, peace be with you, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Get up. Get dressed. Go to work. God's got things for us all to do. Thank you so much, family, for joining me. And for those that may not have made it in and want to read our word itself, we came from 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. Again, 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 29. We came from Psalms, the 73rd Psalm, verses 10 through 20. We came from Proverbs 18, verses 18 through 19, and John chapter 20. So again, I'm going to go one more time for the Father. 2 Kings chapter 14, 1 through 29. The 73rd Psalm, verses 10 through 20. Proverbs 18, verses 18 through 19. And John chapter 20, verses 31 through 31, which is all of John 20. So thank you so much. And if you want to know, we talked about faith. Thomas from doubt to faith, which is verses 20 to 24. Because Thomas wasn't believing nothing until he could touch and feel it and know that it was Jesus. And Jesus told Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." From doubt to faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have faith. So as you go through your day, know that God is with you and have peace and that he has left his peace to be with you. So peace be with you this morning, family. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And again, I'm not planning, let me tell you this, I'm not planning on doing a show on Wednesday because I will be traveling. But I don't know what God's plans are, because God's plans may be that I may not be the driver and that we will be rocking. So I don't know yet. I won't know until Wednesday morning. So I say this, tune in anyway, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and we may still be on. The Holy Spirit spoke that to me because I don't know God's plans. So as of tomorrow, God's will, we will have a show at our normal time. Wednesday, I do not know until God gives it to me. I will be traveling, but if I am not the driver, we will be vlogging in the car on our way to Virginia. So I thank God for all of you. I ask God to bless you, and I thank you for tuning in. So God's will, please join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the Word of God. Thank you so much. Be blessed, and let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God wrap his loving arms around you. Have a great day, family. And again, peace be to you. Take it out.